Amen. Amen. Let's go take our Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 2. We are taking a week off from our study in the book of Luke. The Lord's been really working on my heart lately and encouraging me and motivating me in this idea of stewardship. I know when some people hear that word stewardship, they think we're going to talk about money, but we're not going to talk about money at all today unless the Lord wants me to say something. But it's about stewarding our life. About 3 or 4 years ago, we spent some time on Sunday nights talking about how to be good stewards, and not just stewards of finances, but stewards of our life. And I like
okay, if you're returning your seats,
slide
grab
behind
page 14.
You. And the saying
last
there
verse.
Is, life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to God. Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. And then, you know what? Life is amazing. God has created life. God has given us life. Life is something that we all share in and take a part of. But many times when we look at life in the wrong way, we squander our life away. You know, why are we here in this world? Why did God create? Why did God give us life? Some just basic questions. And so this morning we're going to look at some of those things and just share a little bit of my heart with you and wondering if we are truly stewarding our life the way that God designed it to be. Or are we more focused on ourselves? See, the biblical concept of stewarding life is different than what most of the world will tell you. Rather than focusing on self-fulfillment and personal legacy, we start by recognizing that this is a gift from God. This is not something we had any part in. God created man. As you see in Genesis chapter number 2, look what it says, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Look what it says in Genesis 1, the chapter before that, in verses 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So what I want us to understand this morning, want us to walk away this place, is understanding one thing, is life is a gift from God. And the second thing I like for you to understand, God has a purpose for your life. And if we are going to be a good steward of the life, the gift that God has given us, we're going to have to recognize He has a plan for us. Say, Pastor, you use that word steward. Well, the word steward isn't used as much today, but the word steward is in reference to a person who spends by investment. He or she is commissioned to purposely and wisely appropriate the resources of the master or boss. You say, what is that? It's a person who I entrust, or a person who is a boss entrusts someone to oversee their affairs. Someone who will go and invest for them, and someone who will take care of their items. Someone who says, I am giving you this, it belongs to me, and I am giving you this, and now I want you to take this and use it wisely. I want you to use it the way I want you to use it. And the way that every believer, every Christian, the Bible says that we've been bought with a price. And what God does, He gives us this life, He gives us this time, He gives us these years, He gives us these months, these days, these seconds. And He says, I am giving you this time, and this is how I want you to use it. I want you to be a wise steward. I want you to be a steward that cares about how I feel about things. For instance, if we hired somebody, and if you hired somebody and they looked at it and they saw, and they say, okay, I want you to take care of my business for me. And I want you to run it this way. I want you to pay the bills on this date. And you give them a list of things to do. And they go and they look at it and they say, well, I don't like the way they want it done. I'm going to pay the bills on this date. And I'm going to treat the employees this way. And I'm going to do this with it. And I'm going to do this with it. They wouldn't last very long, would they? You'd get rid of them because they're not being a wise steward. So when we're talking about stewarding life, we're talking about being, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You say, Pastor, I agree with you. We should be good stewards of our resources. Yes, we should. But our greatest resource we have is life. Time. Time that God gives us. How do we use that time? And how do we use it wisely? See, when we want to discover the purpose of God and why God has put things in our lives and the type of goals that God has for us, we begin to understand what stewardship really is. And when we understand that God has given us this time and that life is a gift from God, it lays a foundation to understand that the gift of life should be stewarded in a certain way according to God's plan and God's purpose. Before we know how to properly steward the resources God's given us, we must understand and ask ourselves this question. What is my purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? Now, some people think it is to make enough money to be happy. Some people think it is that has to deal with family. And some people think it is about getting notoriety or getting fame. Some people think it is by helping others. And some people, there's a long list of different things that people will say, this is the reason why I am here on this world. But the Bible has a couple of reasons. We're going to look at that in a minute. First thing I want you to think about is God is that the life is a gift from God. Life is a gift from God. As we look at this, God is the creator of life. Underneath the fact that life is a gift from God, we must understand that life is precious. Life is precious. So often we see that life is taken away sometimes too soon, and we're like, where did it go? It's precious. Jeremiah 1:5 says that God knows us even before we are born. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? That means that God knew the individual before he was ever born, and God had a plan, and God had a purpose for his life. And if we have this understanding, God has got a plan and a purpose for our lives, it would change the way we live sometimes. Many times we live for us and we live for our plans and for our purposes, but the God of heaven who gave us life, and life is so precious.
Amen.
That we must understand.
Amen.
That
let's go and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number
until
2.
We understand the value of the gift of life.
We are
prone
from
to squander
our study in the book
to
of Luke.
Give it away for things that
really
are not sacred.
Working on my heart
things
lately
that are not provided for by God.
Encouraging me,
even John the Baptist was talked about before he was born.
Stewardship.
He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Some people hear that word stewardship, they think we're going to talk about money, but we're not going to talk about money at all today unless the Lord wants me to say something. But it's about stewarding our life. About 3 or 4 years ago, we spent some time on Sunday nights talking about how to be good stewards, and not just stewards of finances, but stewards of our life.
When I was made
and I like the little slide that's behind you.
Thine eyes
the saying there is, life
being
is God's gift
and in thy
to you.
Book of all
what you do with it is
which
your gift to get to him.
Were fashioned,
life is
when
God's gift to you. What you do with it
listen,
is your gift to him.
Also are thy
and then, you know what? Life
God,
is amazing.
How great
God has
is the
created
sum
life.
Of
God has
I
given
count
us life.
They are more
life
than,
is
in number than
something
I
that we all share in and take a part of. But many times when we look at life in the wrong way, we squander our life away.
From me,
you know, why are we here in this earth? Why did God create us? Why did God give us life? Some of these basic questions. And so this morning we're going to look at some of those things and just share a little bit of my heart with you and wondering if we are truly stewarding our life the way that God designed it to be. Or are we more focused on ourselves? See, the biblical concept of stewarding life is different than what most of the world would tell you. Rather than focusing on self-fulfillment and personal legacy, we start by recognizing that,
you know, God thought that life was so
this
precious
is a gift
and it was such
from
a great
God.
Gift. He tells
this is
us
not something we had any part in.
Thou shalt not
God
kill.
Created man,
he
as you see in Genesis chapter
says,
number 2.
Hey, I don't
look
want
what it says
to take
verse
anyone
seven.
Else's life.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and
man
became a living soul.
Look
what it says in Genesis 1, the chapter before that, in verses 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
There's more than one lady in Bible times.
So what I want us to understand this morning, want us to walk away this place, is understanding one thing.
God opened her womb. We think about the story of Sarah.
Life is a gift from God.
We think about the story of Hannah.
And the second thing I like for you to understand, God has a purpose for your life. And if we are going to be a good steward of the life, the gift that God has given us,
God is the one who gives us life. If you have life today, what you do, because you're here,
see, Pastor, you use that word
might be sleeping and not acting like you have life, but if you have life, it's because God
gave it to you. But the word steward is in reference to a person who spends by investment. He or she is commissioned to purposely and wisely appropriate the resources of the master or boss.
Sovereign.
Say, what is that?
As
a person who I entrust, or a person who was a boss entrusts someone to oversee their affairs. Someone who will go and invest for them, and someone who will take care of their items, and someone who says, I am giving you this, it belongs to me, and I am giving you this, and now I want you to take this and use it wisely. I want you to use it the way I want you to use it.
In
a way that every believer, every Christian, the Bible says that we've been bought with a price. And what God does, he gives us this life. He gives us this time. He gives us these years. He gives us these months, these days, these seconds. He says, I am giving you this time, and this is how I want you to use it. I want you to be a wise steward. I want you to be a steward that cares about how I feel about things. For instance, if we hired somebody, and if you hired somebody and they looked at it and they saw, and they say, okay, I want you to take care of my business for me, and I want you to run it this way. I want you to pay the bills on this date, and you give them a list of things to do.
Chapter 11, verses 26
and they go and they look at it and they say, well, I don't like the way they want it done. I'm going to pay the bills on this date.
Obey the commandments of the Lord your God,
and I'm
going to
do this with it, and I'm going to do this with it.
And a curse if you will not
obey the commandments of the Lord your
God.
You'd get rid of them because they're not being
wise stewards. This is the life I'm giving you.
So when we're talking about stewarding life, we're talking about being as it talks about in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover is required in stewards that a man
be
found faithful.
And you want to be cursed,
you say, Pastor, I agree with you. We should be good stewards of our resources.
It's not about us.
Yes, we should.
I've been thinking and I've been praying.
But our greatest
resource we have is life. About how we are stewarding our lives. Am I stewarding my life? Am I stewarding my relationship with God?
How do we use that time?
That's the first and the most important thing is my relationship with God.
See, when we want to discover the purpose of God and why God has put things in our lives and the type of goals that God has for us, we begin to understand what stewardship really is. And when we understand that God has given us this time and that life is a gift from God, it lays a foundation to understand that the gift of life should be stewarded in a certain way according to God's plan and God's purpose. Before we know how to properly steward the resources God's given us, we must understand and ask ourselves this question. What is my purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? Now, some people think it is to make enough money to be happy. Some people think it is it has to deal with family. And some people think it is about getting notoriety or getting fame. Some people think it is by helping others. And some people, there's a long list of different things that people will say, this is the reason why I am here on this world.
So in my life, if I'm not stewarding my heavenly relationship right with God,
first thing I want you to think about is God
need to have that relationship right.
Life is a gift from God. Life is a gift from God. As we look at this, God is the creator of life. Underneath the fact that life is a gift from God, we must understand that life is precious. Life is precious. So often we see that life is taken away sometimes too soon, and we're like, where did it go? It's precious. Jeremiah 1:5 says that God knows us even before we are born. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? That means that God knew the individual before he was ever born, and God had a plan and God had a purpose for his life. And if we had this understanding, God's got a plan and a purpose for our lives, it would change the way we live sometimes. Many times we live for us and we live for our plans and for our purposes, but the God of heaven who gave us life, and life is so precious that we must understand that we ourselves, that God has a plan for us. God is the one
until
who
we understand the value of the gift of life, we are prone to squander it. We are prone to give it away for things that are not sacred and for things that are not provided for by God.
Second thing.
Even John the Baptist was talked about before he was born. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And Psalms chapter 139, if you'd like to turn there, you can. I'm going to turn there and read these verses. Psalms 139, it talks about how the preciousness of life and how God knows you even before you're born. It says in verse 13, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth.
What is your
thine eyes that see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book of all members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And listen, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. I should count them, they are more than in number than I stand.
That God said, let us create man in our own image. If we believe what it says in Genesis 2:7, and what has been really cool to watch that
from
happen?
Me.
Therefore, watch God
ye bloody
take
men.
Out the
I want you to understand here that we are made
man.
In a wonderful way. The Bible says, for thou possess my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb.
That is
verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He's saying that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The reality of this is a gift of life, and it is precious. Next, it also says the life should be protected. You know, God thought that life was so precious and it was such a great gift. He tells us, even in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. He specifically says, hey, I don't want you to take anyone else's life. In Genesis 9:6, God gave the first human government the responsibility to protect life. And he said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And even in Romans chapter 13, it talks about the government authorities and the ability to put someone to death who killed someone. One's life. You say, what's this important for?
Life
now,
is important.
What it
says.
For life is a gift. Life is something that's precious. Life
that
is something
man.
That should be protected. Not only is life a gift,
and
it should be protected.
Pleasure,
God is sovereign
and
over
created.
Life. God is sovereign over life. He's sovereign over who has life.
Bring glory to
so,
God,
Pastor, what do you mean? He says, then you go to middle school. Didn't you see those things? You know, your mom and dad's what makes you. No, God created man.
I need to be the
and God
right
is the one that's sovereign.
The right
you
father,
who's going to give
or the right uncle,
not.
Or the right brother,
remember back
right
in the Bible
son, the right daughter.
There is more than one lady in Bible
life.
Times.
Okay,
that
this is
it says that
just
she was
something
barren.
I should wander
means that she was not
away.
Able
this
to have children.
That I
but you think about it. God opened her womb.
Precious.
We think about the story of Sarah. We think about the story of Hannah. We think about the story of Elizabeth. They experienced the reality that God is the only the one who opens and closes wombs. God is the one who gives us life. If you have life today, what you do, because you're here. I know some of you might be sleeping and not acting like you have life, but if you have life, it's because God gave it to you, and it's a gift that we should not waste.
If he gives us this gift,
not only is it
a,
not only is it about
sure
only the
like
birth, but you think about it, God's the one that determines
sure
how long
like to have
we
a
live.
Big house.
God is
like to have
sovereign
kids,
over
sure
how
like,
long
now,
we're going to be here in this world. I think about
desires.
The story of King
God
Hezekiah we talked about in Sunday school a few weeks ago, a few months ago. He was sick unto death, and it came, and the prophet came to Hezekiah and says, hey, look, I want you to get your house in order. This is going to be a sickness unto death. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to pray and pray to God and pray to God, and God extended his life for 15 years.
I want you to bring glory to my name.
No human can do that.
I want
that.
You to do things.
It's
say,
life is a gift. It is a gift, and it's a gift that comes from God.
That's
God is also sovereign,
God
sovereign
God
on whom
that's someone that God
is,
has changed
is
your life.
To bless.
That's someone that God has
God
made
is
a
also
difference
sovereign.
In their life.
God is the one who
that's
created life. He gave us this life, and He's the one that allows people to have children. He's the one that can actually call someone to live longer, even if the doctor said that it's impossible. God can do that, but God also is. The one who is sovereign over whom he is going to bless.
In
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28, the Bible says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. He says, look, this is the life I'm giving you. I'm going to give you this life, and it's a gift that you have it. Now, if you want to be blessed, it says that you need to obey God.
And
if
I love
you don't want to be a blessed
by God,
and you want to be cursed, that means
you know
you're going to disobey
how did
God.
You know, or And God, your life, God, it's not about
day,
us.
That
I've been thinking,
you
know, and I've been praying, and God's been working on my heart a lot about how we are we stewarding our lives. Am I stewarding my life? Am I stewarding my relationship with God? That's the first and the most important thing is my relationship with God. I cannot be the husband, the father, the pastor that I'm supposed to be unless I am right with God. That is the most important thing. Lots of times I like to skip over things and like to think, okay, I'll be okay here. I can be the dad or I can be the pastor. You know, you got to keep those things in right order. It comes with being that relationship of God. And then I believe my next ministry is to my wife. She comes next, and then it's my family.
God has given.
And then after my family is my responsibilities here at church.
This is
you think about it. If I was
and spend
if I was not providing for my family financially,
I came to this cross.
The Bible
says
that we're worse than an
infidel. I'm giving you the
message. That would be wrong, right? How
not
am I going to provide for my
life,
family
which is a
spiritually?
Great gift.
If I'm not
I'm giving you
my
the
walk
message of eternal life.
You
now,
say
I
physically,
you
you're wrong.
In
they
your
deserve
hands,
this.
You have
they need this.
You
but
have
what
the
about
Bible that can show people
we
how to be
think
saved
that
and
spiritual
on the way to
things
heaven.
Are more important than physically. So in my life, if I'm not stewarding my having my relationship really right with God first and foremost, as we all need to have that relationship right and first, God will take care of the rest of the things. But if I turn around and I'm going to mix up my priorities and I'm going to try to be pastor first and make that my number one priority, I'm not going to be able to be the pastor I'm supposed to be because I'm not right with God. I'm not going to be able to be the father I'm supposed to be because I don't have that right. I'm not going to be able to be the husband I'm supposed to be because I'm so. And we would all say, you're wrong if you do not take care of these things physically. But how much do we need to look at our lives and steward our walk with God and our relationship with God and say, how much am I wrong?
Which
if
is
I don't
over
take
here,
care of this thing spiritually,
you know
too.
I'm already past the
life
halfway
is a gift.
Point. I know some of you are looking
and sometimes
at me saying,
we take it for granted.
Preacher, you always say you're
and
old.
Sometimes
you're,
we squander it away with things
I know
that
I'm younger than
just
most
don't
of you.
Matter.
I know I'm younger than most of
you,
but
today.
This illustration
Remember,
speak your
life
heart
is
even
not
greater.
Something you did
I've been here for 44 years, and I look at my life, and I'm thinking, God gave me this precious gift of life. He's given me his gospel.
It is meant to be protected.
Given me these talents.
God is the one who's
sovereign and
gets life. The
Have
one
I
who can even extend life
the way I should?
And the one who blesses life.
Am I really?
So shouldn't we live
that 44
life?
Years, yes, there's
second
been
thing.
So many blessings.
Point
there's
is,
been so many great things.
Not only is life a gift from God, second thing
that
is
God created
there is a
before.
Purpose for the
In
gift
this
of
stage
life.
Of my life, probably
there is a purpose for the gift of life.
25,
we went around this room. I think we get some interesting answers.
I didn't really
and we say, okay, what is your purpose for being here?
If you, want to know,
if you went out on the street corner and you asked some questions, what's your purpose for being
years,
here?
I didn't
you know, to do more good and
you know,
do bad.
I did what I wanted
to live for my
I
family.
For myself.
To live it up. To have
I
fun.
Try
to have
make,
pleasure.
I
what is
did
your
a lot
purpose
in
this
I
world?
In management.
Because if you look at it, if God is the one who's given life, and if life is precious, if life is something that we should want
to
steward, who should we go to see what the purpose is?
Junior church class.
Where should we go to? If we believe in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If we believe what it says in Genesis 1:26-28, that God said, let us create man in our own image. If we believe what it says in Genesis 2:7, and wouldn't it have been really cool to watch that happen? To watch God take out the dust of the earth and form man? I mean, there's a lot of places I would like to be just sitting and watching these things happen. That is one of those places I would have loved to be in there and watching God actually form man out of dust of the earth. He is the master artist. He is the one who's created us. And he says, here's your life. I'm giving it to you. It's your gift. Now, let me steward it.
I went back and I was working. I was teaching in the Christian school.
And many times I would challenge you to think that how often do we look at our lives in the way
that
God would look at
it?
To attempt to live apart from God and for our own purposes
my life
is both foolish
and
I
would have done things the right way, but I
as long as we view ourselves as independently
way.
Of God, we will fill our days trying to pursue our self-made dreams. We will end our lives never having accomplished that what we were truly created for. So what is this purpose that God has? It says in Revelations 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now listen what it says. For Thou hast created all things. That includes life. That includes man. Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created.
But
we are
God
created
calls
for God's pleasure.
What he calls
we are created to bring glory to God. That's why we have our theme this year of declare his glory. And if we're going to truly declare his glory, we're going to have to learn how to steward our life and say, you know what, I need to be the
the right husband or the right father or the right uncle or the right brother, the right son, the right daughter, and I'm going to have to look at my life. Okay, this is not just something I should wander or squander away. This is something that I should count as a privilege because it's precious. It's only going to be here for a certain amount of time. So what am I going to do with my life? It says we should bring glory to God. It says that.
The purpose of my life is
whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is what our life is. But we spend time doing so many other things.
We want God in it.
Without even worrying about
God. We don't want God to be over all.
So if he gives us this gift, and we sit there and we say, well, I sure would like to maybe get married someday, or I sure would like to have a big house, or I sure like to have these kids, and I sure like... Now, there's nothing wrong with having desires. God sometimes gives us those desires. He even tells us in Psalms 37, if our heart is right with him, he'll give us the desires of our hearts. Those desires are many times God's desires for us, but when we steward our relationship and we put God first and make him first, he'll say, okay, I got a purpose for you. Here's your purpose in life. I want you to bring glory to my name. I want you to do
things
that are going to say, you know what, that person didn't do that. There's something different about that person. That's someone that God is all over. That's someone that God has changed their life. That's someone that God has made a difference in their life.
He's the one that says
that's bringing glory.
You're going to have to give an account.
We live in a life that gives glory to him.
I'm going to give an account.
When people blow up and get angry at you and you respond in the right way,
you're going to have to give an account what you did as a member of this church.
When you forgive someone,
but I'm going to give
when you show an act of kindness. You know, there's been a number of times when people have just showed me an act of kindness. You know, nobody else knew I had a need. Only God did. And God speaks to someone's heart, and God filled that need by another individual, and I praise him and give him glory. Yes, I'm thankful for the person God used. We're thankful that God used it, but it was God that spoke to that person's heart, and they got God. They gave God glory in their lives because they did what God asked them to do.
God will
and I love being able to be used by God. And people say, you know what? Just how did you know? Or God sent you this day. And that message, you know, that's giving God glory. I don't know what you need to hear.
And comfort.
I know the things I need to hear.
We know that God.
But when God speaks to your heart personally, he touches your heart.
I want you to think about.
That's God doing
that. Life is a gift.
All I'm doing is trying to be a vessel. All I'm trying to do is
there's
be a servant.
That gift.
All we can do is just be faithful what God has asked us to do and leave the rest up to God. He not only says the purpose in life was to bring glory and honor and to receive glory and honor, that God would receive our glory and honor, but also is to bring others to Christ.
We want you to pick it out. We want
think of how it says in Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Say a new suit with this.
God has given us the gospel.
For them to take that money,
he has said,
right?
This is how men can be saved and spend eternity with me.
For the gift.
I came to this cross and I died for you. I'm giving you the message of life.
And you say, what
not
that
just
mean?
Physical
that
life, which is a great gift, but I'm giving you the message of eternal life. Now, I want you to steward that. In your hands, you have the ability. You have the Bible that can show people how to be saved and on their way to heaven.
You know, Lord bless.
How do we steward it?
Got a lot for it. We are able to get two buses.
Do we really make good use of it?
Would it have been wrong?
I want to encourage you today.
To give something
God has a purpose for that life he's given you. Life is a gift, and he has a purpose for it. It's to bring glory to his name. But it is also.
And that would be.
Also.
Man, we fire that guy.
To help bring people to him, too.
God's given
this morning, I know that
that's a gift.
You know the Bible talks about 70 years being an average lifespan,
and
I know nowadays it's a little bit longer than that, 76 years. I think ladies are even a little bit longer than that. But I am 44 years old. You
think
about it. If the day of my birth was over here, and you know the day of my death, which is over here, you know what? I'm already past the halfway point.
No, it's not.
I know some of you are looking at me saying, preacher, you always say you're old, but you're the same age as my kids. I know I'm younger than most of you. I know I'm younger than most of you, but this illustration speaks your heart even greater. I've been here for 44 years, and I look at my life, and I'm thinking, God gave me this precious gift of life. He's given me his gospel. He's given me these talents. He's given me these abilities. He's given me this family. Have I stewarded that life the way I should?
So
am I really that 44 years? Yes, there's been so many blessings. There's been so many great things. But is it the purpose that God created me for? In this stage of my life, probably from maybe 15 to 25,
I knew
that
God wanted me to be a preacher.
God, to be spiritually dead.
I didn't really want to
what
do it.
Means that
I have my reasons.
Dying,
I'll tell you later if you want
to
know. I've told some of you the story before.
I didn't
before.
Make that up. God.
These
God
10 wrote. Years, I didn't steward my life.
Just like we believe he's a giver
you know,
of life.
You know, I did what I wanted to do. I lived for myself. I tried to make. I did a lot of different jobs. I worked in management. I made good money for a guy that had limited education, all these different things. And you know what? I did those for those 10 years. I didn't steward my life. Now, did I go to church? Yeah, I went to church. I taught a junior church class. I taught adult Sunday school class. I went and did all. They wouldn't let me sing in the choir there either. But I did lots of things. I did lots of things at the church. On the outside, everybody was saying, you know what? You know, that's a good young man. They asked me to be a deacon, different things like that. You know, I was what most people would say, hey, that's a good Christian young man.
But
I wasn't stewarding my life
for a limited period of time.
I wasn't doing what God had called me to do, what God had created me to do, what God had designed me to do. And it wasn't until I hit 25 and God finally got a hold of my heart and God started working on it and working on it and working on it. And then when I came here, went back to Bible college, which, you know, go to college before you get married, guys. And I went back and I was working. I was teaching in the Christian school, working like 50 or 60 hours a week at the drugstore overnight and go to Bible college full time. That wasn't easy.
They don't think they need to.
I'm not complaining. It would have been a lot easier if I had stewarded my life back then. And I would have done things the right way, but it was harder here because I did it the wrong way.
Wrong thoughts. Yeah, that's
and then I came here, and I've been here ever since. And I look over those years I've been here, and I'm thinking,
you know,
we steward our lives the way we should.
We're all sinners.
Life is a gift. It is a gift. And it's a gift that comes from God. It's something we all have. We all have 24 hours in a day. We all have 365 days a year. We all have some, and God has a plan for each of us. Now, some people's plan is different than others.
It says before the
God has not called
world,
you all to be the pastor of Faith Baptist
the
Church.
Was ever created, before Adam and
but
Eve
God calls us to
sinned,
do what he calls us to
it
do.
It was a way provided.
He's called me to do that. He's sinned. Called you to a life and to a purpose.
Jesus Christ was
one pastor,
come to this world.
He challenged us
life,
to write
a
life
die on
a purpose
cross,
statement.
A horrible death.
And he wrote, the purpose of my life is to glorify God by living with
salvation.
The mind of Christ, loving and providing for my family and impacting my generation with the gospel of Christ.
And they are lost.
That sounds
separated
really nice.
From God and know that they need
but
their sin debt
like
paid.
That.
And they that believe
the purpose
on him
of my
and
life
trust
is
him,
to make sure I'm comfortable.
Call on him and say,
the purpose of my life is to try to help those
sins,
I like.
And I see that Jesus Christ died.
And I want to leave a good heritage.
I believe
behind.
That he paid my sin debt for me. And
we want God in
it.
But we don't want God to be over all of it. I'm sure people would have different ones, different things.
Gift that you can ever have.
But God
maybe
says,
had some great
but as
gifts
truly as
years,
I live on the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
But there's no
Numbers 14:21.
Even better
someday
than
the earth will be filled with the glory of God.
The Bible
our
says
point
in
here
Romans,
in this world is
chapter
we
10,
bring
verses
glory
9
to
and 10.
Him while we're here. That's why he gave
there.
Us life.
It says
that
thou shalt
be a good husband,
thy,
being a good wife,
thy
being
mouth,
a good daughter,
Jesus,
being
thou
a good
shalt
son,
thine heart that
being
God
a good church member,
dead,
being a good American, all those things
for
have
with
purpose.
The heart man
all those things,
righteousness,
being a good Sunday school teacher, good minister,
salvation.
All those things.
But here's the two things.
They're good.
It's believing in your
but
heart.
But God gave us life.
And
he's the one that created. He's the one we owe an expectation to. He's the one
have
we will stand before someday.
Because if you've never done that,
he's the one that says,
on the greatest
you're going to have to give an account for those 10 years that
say,
I left.
Pastor,
I'm going to have to give an account
that all sounds
for
good and
what I did as pastor of this
that
church.
That doesn't work for me.
It's you're going to have to give an account what you did as a member of this
the beginning.
Church.
Life
but I'm going to have to give an account for being the pastor
from
of this
God.
Church.
Now, in this
no one
process
else will
of time, many people have made up other things.
Now, if you're a deacon, you're going
to
be
say,
accountable
to
heaven
and
your role
this
there.
This is the way to heaven.
A church member, as
there
a Sunday
no
school,
heaven,
you're going to be accountable. How
no
are we stewarding
they
our
bring
lives?
Up all types
you know,
of different
we all
scenarios.
Have this time. And once again,
but
the I think the
life.
Greatest life you can do is living for the Lord and living for the Lord with all your heart. That will have joy. That will have comfort. That will have peace. That will have... God will provide everything you need beyond
your
expectations.
And you believe in your heart.
It's just be in a different way.
Saved from what?
You got joy
saved
that
from your
people
sin.
Won't understand.
Saved from an eternity in hell.
Peace that the world
but
can't
you must
comprehend.
Recognize that you're a sinner and
comfort,
see that I
and the idea that we know that
God
is always
and
in
repent
charge.
Of those sins and say, I'm no longer trusting
thing,
myself
to
get to heaven. Instead,
first thing
I am
was
trusting
that life
in God
is a gift.
And God alone.
Second thing is,
salvation.
There's a reason for that gift. You ever been given a gift and there was a particular reason for it?
After you accept him.
Sometimes my parents or my in-laws, they'll give my boys money for a certain gift. And they'll say, we want you to pick it out. We want you to use it for
now,
this
obviously,
thing.
I know that many of us
because
have to work
specifically.
40, 50,
we didn't want to. We want you to go out there and maybe buy, say, a new suit
that's
with
a good
this.
Steward that time because we
it would
to
be
it.
Wrong for them
to
take that money.
And we should be
right?
Christ-like at work.
And use it for something different.
But how are we doing with stewarding?
Because they
have
specific
we have
purpose
week,
for the
24-hour days.
Sometimes people do specific giving here at the church. We call it suggested giving. And you say, what does that mean? That means that if after over their tithes and what they have set aside for missions, they say, there's a certain project we like. Last year we did our bus. Somebody, so we had a bus fund, and for a whole year we collected for a bus. And, you know, Lord bless, and we got a lot for it. We were able to get two buses. But would it have been wrong for you to give something for the bus?
So I'm being a bad steward.
We use it for something different.
How are you today?
If I did it to redecorate my office.
Relationship with God. Life.
Man, that would be
amazing.
Man, we
gift.
Fire it's that like guy. Get rid of that bum.
Almost the greatest gift
God's
you can
given
get.
Given you a life. That's a gift.
How are we
him.
Doing with it? Are
and once you become a Christian, you're bought
with
a price.
That, there's
he's
three
given
types
you this
of
time
different
for a purpose.
Think, stewards, I heard there's a.
Shouldn't we care about what he wants us to do with
there
that
There is a person who was a squanderer.
We should.
I think about the
third thing I want to think about is the greatest gift.
All the ability,
gift,
all
life.
The. He the did so many
gift,
amazing things
life.
On Wednesday night. He was the strongest guy to ever
the amazing
live.
Thing is,
Christ, I believe,
life is pretty awesome.
He squandered his opportunity.
He said, no, it's not. It
think
hurts. And it, yeah, hard
man,
times.
Wise
was better than being
live.
Dead, right? Better than never being born. So life don't is a pretty great gift. You get it for 70 or 80
now
years,
think about spenders.
90 years, 100 years,
someone who
however long you have it for.
Abuses their time here. You know,
but you think about it, eternal
life,
the greatest gift.
They'll spend
something
all
that
their
lasts
energy and all these things.
And I mean
spend
forever.
And spend. So that way
and a million years into eternity,
be
you're
God.
Still going to have forever
spend
ahead
all
of
the
you.
Time. They maybe work
so as great as and as precious and as protected as it should be in the sovereignty that God has in this life here,
not even
let's consider a second for eternal life.
They spend all their time.
Everlasting.
They're not lazy.
The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That means to be separated from God, to be spiritually dead. What it means that when you die, you go to a horrible place called hell. I didn't make that up. God wrote
life
it.
Comes
it's the
from
truth.
God.
Just like we believe God he's a giver of life, there's also a place called hell. That if because of our sin, we're
not
separated from God because we've done wrong and we're all sinners, the Bible says.
And the third
but
thing
the gift
is,
of God,
have you ever received the gift
there's
of
another
God?
Gift from God, is eternal life, which means it lasts forever
if you have
through Jesus Christ.
Let me encourage you to do it.
So here's the gift. He says, I am willing to give you
to
another gift. Everybody receives life at birth. Unfortunately, there are some people who do not protect life, and they try to cancel out life before birth.
As we said,
and that's murder
0 to 70,
in my mind, but that's still life. It's still supposed to be precious.
One.
But those that receive
10,
that life is for a limited period of time.
Some people don't
but he also says, I have another gift I want to offer you.
This opportunity.
That's eternal.
You're not sure that you're saved.
That's life everlasting. That's life forever. You say, well, Pastor, how do I get that?
Go ahead and close your eyes.
Well, here's the thought here.
Quick, let me ask this question with you.
The Bible says that we're all sinners.
Let me ask a couple invitation questions with you.
What does that mean? We've all done something wrong. I think we all would admit that. I've met a few people in this world that says, I've never done anything wrong. They don't come to church very often, though. So they don't think they need to. They don't ever do anything wrong. So, but, you know, most people that come to church realize I've lied. You know, I've stolen maybe something. I've had a wrong thought. Yeah, that's a pretty bad thing not to say. I've never had a wrong thought. We've all probably had many wrong thoughts. You know, I've done this. I've done that. We're all sinners. And the Bible says because of our sin, there's a penalty, a wage for that sin. That means that we will die and go to a godless hell and spend all eternity in a place called hell. But God knew our need. He understood our need. It says before the foundations of the world, meaning that before the world was ever created, before Adam and Eve ever sinned, there was a way provided to pay our sin debt. Jesus Christ was going to come to this world, live a perfect life, die on a cross, a horrible death, be buried in a tomb, and rise again for our salvation. And all those who recognize that they are a sinner and they are lost and separated from God and know that they need their sin debt paid, and they that believe on him and they trust him, they will call on him and say, I know that I'm a sinner. I repent of those sins, and I see that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that he paid my sin debt for me, and he alone can save me from my sins. And I'm asking him, I'm receiving him into my heart. The greatest gift that you can ever have. Maybe you've had some great gifts over the years. I've had some wonderful gifts over the years. But there's no greater gift, even better than life, is eternal life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I have it up there. It says that thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here's the two things. It's believing in your heart and confessing it with your mouth. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Because if you've never done that, you're missing out on the greatest gift you will ever receive. You say, Pastor, that all sounds good and fine, but that doesn't work for me. It's what the Bible says. Remember from the beginning, life is a gift. It's from God. Now, in this process of time, many people have made up other things. Many people say, well, this is the way to heaven, and this is the way to heaven, or there is no heaven, or there is no hell. They bring up all types of different scenarios. But the man who gave us life, the God that gave us life, back in Genesis 2:7, breathed life into the nostrils, he says that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, then you'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sins, saved from eternity in hell. But you must recognize that you're a sinner and see that my sins have kept me separated from God and repent of those sins and say, I'm no longer trusting myself to get to heaven. Instead, I am trusting in God and God alone for my salvation. The greatest gift you could ever have. And then from that day forth, after you accept him, steward your life. Let's go back and review when we're done. How are we doing with our stewarding our life? I mean, how are we doing? Now, obviously, I know that many of us have to work 40, 50, or longer hours to provide for our family. So that's a good steward of that time because we have to do it. We should act a certain way at work, and we should be Christ-like at work, yes. But how are we doing with stewarding our time? If we have this 7 days a week, 24-hour days, how much of our time is really with the thought process, how can I bring glory to God while I'm doing my day-to-day routines? Remember, I can't be those other things I'm supposed to be, husband, father, pastor, I can't be those until I steward my relationship with God. If I'm not spending time in the Word of God and I'm not spending time praying, you know what? I can't be all those other things, at least not the way I'm supposed to. So I'm being a bad steward. How are you today? And you're stewarding your relationship with God. Life, amazing gift. It's like, almost the greatest gift you can get. How are we doing with it? Are we using it? There's three types of different stewards I've heard. There is a person who was a squanderer. I think about the story of Samson. All the ability, he did so many amazing things on Wednesday night. He was the strongest guy to ever live besides Jesus Christ, I believe. And he squandered his opportunity. Think about Solomon. Man, wisest man to ever live. And he squandered it away. Don't squander your Christian life away. Now think about spenders. You say, what's a spender? Someone who abuses their time here. Someone who will not take care of their body, they'll spend all their energy and all these things. They'll spend it, spend, spend. So that way they're not going to be someone who's going to be able to be used by God. They spend all the time. They maybe work so long, work so hard, or they get so much and so involved, and they use all their energy and all their effort and all the resources toward things that are not even spiritual things. They spend all their time. They're not lazy, but they're spending all their time and all their resources on other things. And then I think there's a person who is a steward, a good steward. They recognize life is a gift. Life comes from God, and God has a purpose for my life. I need to put that in the equation. Not put that just in the equation. Make that the equation of my life. And then the third thing is, have you ever received the greatest gift? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior? If you haven't, let me encourage you to do it today. We're going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to be able to go in the back and talk to somebody, to be able to become a Christian if you like to. We love to, don't squander this opportunity. You don't know how many more opportunities we have. As we said, 0 to 70, but some people don't make it to 1. Some people don't make it to 10. Some people don't make it to 20. Some people don't make it to 30. Don't waste this opportunity. If you're not sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, get it settled today. Let's go ahead and close your eyes, bow your heads real quick. Let me ask this question with you. Let me ask a couple invitation questions with you. First off, if you're here this morning and know for sure, beyond the shadow of doubt, that you've received that greatest gift. There's been a time in your life that you've asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sins and save your soul. And you know if you died today that you would go to heaven. Would you give testimony of that by raising your right hand? If you're saved and on your way to heaven, raise your hand. Thank you. Now, we want people to be honest here. And I want to be able to pray for you. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm just going to ask you to just let me know so I can pray for you. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity. You do not have to go to the back, but we'd love to have the opportunity to have somebody just take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. Is there anybody this morning that would admit, hey, Pastor, I've never received that greatest gift. I do not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know that I want to go to heaven and do not want to go to hell, but I would be willing to raise my hand and say, hey, Pastor, I do not know that I would go to heaven when I died. Would you raise your hand and tell me that? Anybody in the room that would say, hey, Pastor, I know that I'm not on my way to heaven. Anybody I can pray for? Okay. So I know that there's probably some people here today that don't know Christ, and they're maybe not ready. Let's pray for them. If you have a question afterwards, please come in the back and let me know. I'll take the Bible and show you, answer any question you have. But for the people that are sitting in this room that says, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven, let's ask this question. Are you being a good steward of your time? Forget about the resources. Forget about, you know, money. Forget about this. Forget about that. God's giving you time, life. Are you using it for the purpose of bringing him glory and bringing people to Christ? Are you thankful for that gift? If God's spoken to your heart this morning about, you know, being a better steward of time, will you raise your hand and let me know that so I can be praying for you? Is there anybody who says, hey, I need to be a better steward. I want to be a better steward. Hands all over the room. Thankful for that. My hand's up too because I want to be a better steward too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God has spoken to your heart and you'd like to come to the altar and pray, I encourage you. But if God's spoken to your heart, make sure you do a, you know, make a decision today. I'm going to be a better steward. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, please come forward. We'd love to have somebody take you from the Bible and show you how you can be saved. The altar's open as Brother Charles sings. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. Unless the Lord changes my heart about it, we're going to talk a little bit. We're not going to spend, I know 4 years ago we spent probably 10 weeks talking about stewarding different things, but tonight we are going to talk about stewarding our relationships. I was going to say stewarding our family, and that's going to be a portion of it, but then some people says, well, I'm not married, I don't have kids. It's our relationships in general, because we have a lot of relationships that we should steward and look at it. How can I bring glory through this, and how can I bring people to Christ? Those are our purposes. I know there's other things that fall down there. You know, bringing glory means a lot of different things, being the right employee, being the right American. But come back tonight, 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to be talking about stewarding our relationships. I like that phrase up there. Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. So we've gotten a great gift from God. Let's make sure we're making good use of it. Brother Todd Ackley, will you pray for us? Close us in prayer.